Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio's special feature. We are going to be talking about current events, particularly about Hamas, Israel, and Armageddon. My guest today is Steve Wolberg, and I'm Tom Mazur. Pastor Steve Wolberg is the speaker director of White Horse Media. Welcome, Pastor Steve.
Yes, thank you, Tom. I surely appreciate the opportunity to share Bible truth and Jesus during such a volatile time that we live in.
Wow. We need to have a word of prayer about the situation over in the Middle East, but also the understanding, the way the world is turning all of its eyes upon Israel, and for a correct understanding of biblical understanding. Pastor, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we pray for the people over there in Israel who are suffering. We think about those that are hostage to the Hamas terrorists, and we just pray for them and pray that somehow, Lord, you will intervene and help solve these problems, and also direct people to Jesus. And please bless the time that we spend, that it will bring clarity and light and truth to those that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, listeners, as you already have experienced, it seems like the whole world's eyes are turning onto Israel and the Gaza Strip right now. Our guest, Pastor Steve Wolberg, has a unique position in this understanding because he is Jewish. He is a Christian Jew. And he has been on both sides of the fence to some degree, although Judaism is divided into many factions, secular Jews, conservative Jews, and various levels across a whole spectrum. But Pastor Steve, you've shared this in various venues, your background and your perspective, but please, as we establish this particular special program, at any time in recent history, your perspective is vitally important to our listeners.
I believe it is, Tom, and I've written a book on this, and we've done videos at White Horse Media. I'm continuing to discuss this issue because it's so hot right now. It's so volatile. It's just heart-wrenching to see what has happened in Israel and the loss of life. And as you've mentioned, I have a Jewish background. I grew up in the Hollywood Hills in a rather secular Jewish home, unfortunately, which also, unfortunately, there's too many Jewish homes that were like my home, where the Bible was not read, people didn't pray, we didn't pray, we didn't go to the synagogue. There was really no discussion about God at all. And as a teenager, I just got lost in the Hollywood world of entertainment and drugs and the wildlife. And then when I was 20 years old, I read the Bible for the first time in my life. I've actually written another book on this called From Hollywood to Heaven, where I describe how Jesus reached me. And I began to read the Bible. And I eventually read a book on the life of Jesus. And it just it changed my life when I saw Jesus suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane and his crucifixion and his resurrection. I realized that this man, this God-man, is the one that I need in my life. And I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to become my Savior. And that was, I'm almost 65 right now, and that was over 40 years ago. And now I'm happily married to my wife, Kristen. We have two teenagers, Seth and Abby. And God has just blessed me abundantly because I believe in God and in his Son, my Lord Jesus Christ. It's changed my life. And as I look at the world and look at what's going on in Israel, I have a burden for people over there that ultimately, my ultimate goal is that people will find what I found. That they'll find Jesus as their savior, because he really is the only answer to ultimately, which is the sin problem. And everybody wrestles with sin, whatever side of any fence anybody's on. We're all sinners, and we all need a savior. And that's really the focus of my life.
Absolutely. Well, on October 7th, our eyes turned back to Israel. It's not that we haven't been there before. If, like you mentioned, your age and mine is similar, I can remember the 67 war and I think that was called the 7-Day War, and there's been war. It's like a volcano. It's just dormant for a period of time, and then it erupts again, and it seems to be perpetual. What happened on October 7th, and what is the background? Why is the Middle East, we never can truly turn our back, turn our eyes away from this issue here? Start with October 7th and work back as far as you need to go.
Well, as everybody knows, the world knows, on October 7th, which was a Sabbath day, unexpectedly, a whole army, a whole group of Hamas terrorists sprang out of the Gaza Strip.
Explain what the Gaza Strip is to. I had a friend describe it in a wonderful way, but it's amazing that we're talking about, I've been told, about 2 million people that are in a strip of 6 to 10 miles wide and about 40 miles long. So those of us who live in northern Michigan, somebody described it as the distance between here and Traverse City and going 5 miles either direction. We're talking about a very small, which may have a population up in our area, of less than 35,000 people, but this is 2 million people in a very concentrated, almost powder keg. Well, it is a powder keg because there's all kinds of arsenals spread throughout this highly densely populated area.
Yes, and it's a Palestinian controlled area. It's a strip of land on the western southern edge of the land of Israel. It's Palestinian territory. It borders Egypt, and it's largely under the control of the Palestinians. And it's also a breeding ground for terrorism. Hamas has taken a root there. They have all these tunnels under the ground from which they can hide and they can plan their activities. And so on October 7, they just, you know, they had planned this out, and they came out and they crossed over into the land of Israel, and they started killing people indiscriminately. Somewhere around 1,300 people, including a whole group of young people that were at a music festival. And as a result of this horrific, completely unjustifiable attack, you know, nobody can, to me, there's no excuse at any time ever to kill innocent people, especially, you know, children and old people, and that's what happened. And the whole world was just shocked at this. And so Israel, the state of Israel, quickly declared war on Hamas and appealed to the United States for aid. And then the whole thing has just been developing since then. United States officials in the government and the Pentagon are very concerned that this could continue to spiral ultimately out of control. You've got Hezbollah on the north in the Syria area, northern Israel, just north of Israel, and they are also terrorists. And you've got Hamas in the south coming out of the Gaza Strip, and you've got Israelis in the middle, and you've got innocent Palestinians in the middle, and then you've got Iran farther in the north that are helping to fuel terrorism. And the whole thing is just a mess. And it's in the news all the time. People are praying and hoping for some kind of resolution. There are hostages that are still under the control of Hamas. And what's happening, Tom, and this is really where we want to go with this discussion, is that Christians who are interested in prophecy are looking at these events, and they have concluded, many of them, and I've watched a number of reports. I watched one supposed prophecy expert that was being interviewed on a podcast, and he talked about how all of this is part of the prophecies. It's part of what is predicted in the Old Testament, that eventually all the nations would gather against Israel, and this would result in the ultimate final battle of Armageddon, which they interpret to be a bloody Middle East-centered military conflict against the Jews, involving Russia and possibly Iran and maybe the Chinese. There's different, you know, scenarios, but they see Armageddon as the final battle between the Israelis and their enemies. And so they look at what's happening in the Middle East right now, and they're saying, look, prophecy is being fulfilled, and we need to, you know, be aware of this and get ready for the rapture, they say, because the rapture is going to come and get the Christians out of here. Then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. The Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt. The Antichrist is going to come and go into that temple. And this is going to result ultimately in the nations gathering against the Jews and Armageddon. And what my book that I've written a book that deals with this particular issue, it's called False Prophecies About Israel, Babylon, and Armageddon, is I look closely at the New Testament and at the book of Revelation to see what it really says and what it doesn't say. And it's a big issue that deserves prayerful, humble study of God's word.
Steve, you talked about prophecy. How widespread is this understanding that you describe? Some people call that futurism. How widespread is that? Is that a long historic view? And how widely held is this futurism understanding of prophecy?
Yeah, it's very widespread. You can also call it dispensationalism. There's different words that people use, but the basic scenario, which is, I would say it's the dominant view of prophecy among prophecy-minded Christians. It's been expressed by Hal Lindsey in his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, that came out in the 1970s. It's been expressed in the best-selling Left Behind series, co-authored by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye, that came out, I think it was in the early 2000s, and these books have been made into movies, and it's really the dominant view. And again, the basic idea is that Israel in the Middle East is the apocalyptic epicenter of prophecy. And there will be a rapture that will remove the Christians from the earth. And then there will be a 7-year period of tribulation. And during that 7 years, the Jewish temple will be rebuilt. The Antichrist will show up and walk into the temple and say that he's God. And the Jewish people will oppose him. And eventually, this will result in the gathering of the nations against the Jews, and a physical military conflict in the Middle East called Armageddon. That's the basic futurist, dispensationalist, left behind viewpoint of the end times. And every time something big happens in the Middle East, what happens is the prophecy buzz goes off the chart. And that's what's happening now. There's videos and you know, books and articles and radio shows and television shows. The list just goes on and on of people that are once again discussing all of this and saying prophecy is happening right in front of our eyes and Israel is at the center stage.
So
that's what's going on right now.
Pastor Steve, do you agree with the predominant understanding of prophecy?
No, I don't. I don't. I completely disagree with the scenario that I just presented, and I'm doing this not because I'm just sharing my own opinions, but I've got a lot of Bible on my side. My book is loaded with scriptures. It's a very deep study of Jesus and the early church and the teachings of Paul and the book of Revelation and biblical prophecy and what Bible prophecy really says. And just to clarify, because I don't believe that Israel, the state of Israel, is really the eschatological center of the end, it doesn't mean that I don't love Jewish people. I certainly do. I have a great concern for people that are over there. My family, we have morning and evening worship, and we pray for the whole situation over there regularly. But my ultimate loyalty, Tom, is to Jesus and to the Bible. And I'm trying to direct people to the teachings of Christ. What did Jesus really teach? And what did Paul really teach? And what does the book of Revelation really say? And my ultimate goal is to bring people to the Savior and to help them to understand Bible truth so they can ultimately get ready for the big day when Jesus returns to gather his people to take us home. That's what it's all about.
Well, bring us back to a scriptural understanding of prophecy before we end this particular segment.
Well, the first thing we need to do is look at is Jesus himself. Everybody knows on all sides of the fence, those that study the Bible, that Jesus is the Messiah and he fulfilled biblical prophecy. He was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He lived in Israel. He suffered according to prophecy. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. All of these things have been predicted in Scripture. He was betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver, Judas, etc. And most people know these basic truths. And what happened in the time of Jesus was that there was a group of Jewish people that responded to Jesus as the Messiah and accepted him as their Savior, like Peter and James and John. And then there were other Jews like Annas and Caiaphas and Judas that rejected Jesus. So you have two groups of Jews, those that believe in Jesus and those that didn't. And it's the same today. And what we'll talk about on the other side of the break is that according to the New Testament, those that are really the focus of prophecy are not those who don't believe in Jesus, but it's those who believe in him and who follow him and who are his true people. And their home is the New Jerusalem as they're waiting for Jesus to come. But we'll get into those scriptures in a little bit.
Thank you so much, Pastor Steve. We're looking forward to, we've set the background, the stage of what's happening that percolated to the surface on October 7th, but has much deeper roots. We'll be back with Pastor Steve Wolberg. He's a speaker director of White Horse Media. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, for Strong Tower Radio's special report. We'll be back soon.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. Here at Strong Tower Radio, we are proud to hold up the Bible as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We believe the Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His great plan of salvation for mankind. If you know and believe this to be true, won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the truth about our God and His Word, the Bible? To do that, go to www.strongtowerradio.org and there, on our secure website, you will find a donate button. Click on that and give as the Lord directs. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio's special report on Hamas, Israel, and Armageddon. Our guest today is Pastor Steve Wolberg. He's the speaker and director of White Horse Media. We've appreciated. He's done some special programs for the Reformation, and we've aired his programs from time to time. We laid the groundwork of what is the current events. We talked about different views of prophecy, the prevailing prophecy theory of dispensationalism or futurism, but Pastor Steve noted that he doesn't subscribe to dispensationalism or futurism, and he is explaining to us that not everyone who is Jewish is Jewish, and he's going to explain, which kind of sounds like doublespeak, but Pastor Steve, continue the difference. You brought out the fact that there were Jews of the flesh that, the leadership, Caiaphas, and various leadership who were in the political realm, Israel, but there were those who truly followed Christ and God, and that was also Israel, the Israel in the spirit. Will you continue that discussion?
Yeah, and let me just go back with starting with myself. As I mentioned, I grew up in a very secular Jewish home in California. And for the first 20 years of my life, I was Jewish. We kept Passover every once in a while with neighbors. I went to my brother's bar mitzvah in the synagogue. We all knew that we were Jewish. We ate Jewish food, lox and bagels and cream cheese. But there was no spiritual life inside of me or my family. There was no prayer, no Bible study, nothing like that. And then when I was 20 years old, I started reading the Bible for the first time in my life, and I became a believer in Jesus. And I was still Jewish, a Jewish believer in Jesus, and my whole life changed. And so I look at myself and I see I was on the wrong side for the first 20 years. And then when I became a Christian and believing in Jesus, God changed my life. The same thing happened with Saul. Saul, who became Paul in the Bible. In the book of Acts, we read about Saul, who was basically a Jewish terrorist who was hunting Christians because he didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. The Christians believed in Jesus as the Messiah. These were Jewish people. And Saul was on the warpath to get these people, to arrest them, to bring them to Jerusalem, have them tried as heretics, and to have them killed. And then on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts, on his way to find more Christians and gather them up, Jesus appeared to him. A great light shone around him, and he fell down, and he looked up, and a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said in shock, who are you, Lord?" And then the voice said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And that was all the beginning of a whole new life for this man. And eventually his name was changed to Paul, and he became a crusader for Jesus, and he wrote most of the New Testament. And when you keep reading the book of Acts, his greatest enemies were his own Jewish people who didn't believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So you have, you know, the person, the Saul person, and then the Paul person. Just like me, I had the secular Steve, and then the believing in Jesus Steve. There was the terrorist Saul, and then there was the believing in Jesus Paul. And we see this throughout the New Testament. In the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 6, this is what Paul, who was now the new Paul, this is what he wrote. He said, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel." And then in verse 8, he says, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." So when you look at this text carefully, Paul is saying that they're not all Israel who are of Israel. In other words, there's two Israels. There's the Israel that is just the natural descendants of Abraham, and then there is the Israel composed of people like himself now who believe in Jesus. We all have two eyes in our heads. We have two ears. We have two arms. We have two legs. And when we look at the New Testament, there's two Israels. And most people they've never read this or never thought about that. When Christians today think about Israel, all they do is think about the Middle East. They don't realize that there's two different groups. And the one group Paul refers to as the children of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8, he said, "Behold Israel after the flesh." And that Israel were just people that were Jews, but they didn't believe in Jesus, and they were following their flesh. And then in Galatians 6:16, Paul talked about the Israel of God, which are actually composed of Jews and Gentiles who believe in Jesus, who become part of one body. So there's two groups. And so when I think about Israel, I think of the Israel of the flesh, like the Israel that I was, the person that I was, and the one that Saul was. And then I think of the Israel of God, which is what I've become and what Saul became when he became Paul. And that's what the Testament teaches. And when we think about prophecy, we need to decide and discern which Israel is the center of prophecy. Is it Israel of the flesh or the Israel of God that believes in Jesus? This is a very basic New Testament question and issue that we need to look at.
It's interesting when you bring out those texts, Romans 9, 6 and 1 Corinthians 10, 8. I think that most 18. That most Christians would say, well, that makes sense, is just because you've got the name of Jewish or you have the heritage. But when it comes to this theology, this understanding of prophecy, all of a sudden that reasonability of these two texts just kind of washes right out the window and falls lockstep into a understanding that I think as you're going to present, is not strongly biblically based.
Yes, yeah, so let me read a couple more verses from the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said, "Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And he's actually quoting verse 6. He said, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So he says the real children of Abraham are those who have faith like Abraham did. And then in verse 28 and 29 in the same chapter, Paul wrote, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's," and he was writing primarily to a Gentile audience, "if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise." In other words, the promises that God made in the Old Testament, the heirs of those promises are those who are in Christ, those who believe in Jesus. And Paul's message in the book of Galatians is that Gentiles who believe in Jesus and Jews who believe in Jesus, together, if they have faith in Christ, they are the seed of Abraham. And then again, when we get to prophecy, we need to ask ourselves which Israel is the center of prophecy. And let me clarify, I certainly do believe that Israel is the center, or at least has a major role in end time events. But the question is, which Israel? Is it the Israel after the flesh? Is it the Annases and the Caiaphases and the Judases and the modern Israelis who don't believe in Jesus at all? Or is it the Jewish people that believe in Christ along with the Gentiles who believe in Christ combined as the Israel of God? That's the issue. And when we get to the book of Revelation, the answer is surprising.
You know, this which Israel, you've done a fine job of clarifying that. Where do we go from here? We've got these multiple texts to say it's what you believe. It's not just because of your genealogy, your heritage, but it's your claiming to God and to Jesus Christ as your Savior, which indicates that you're a part of Israel.
That's right. And another verse on this is in the book of Matthew chapter 3, where a whole group of Jewish leaders from the Sanhedrin came to John the Baptist when he was baptizing people. And John said to them in Matthew chapter 3, he said, "Do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" He said, and then he said, "For God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones, from the rocks, he can raise up children of Abraham." So the error of the Pharisees is that they thought that just because they were Jews and had a physical lineage back to Abraham, that they were automatically the chosen people, no matter what they did. And John said, no, that's not true. You, unless you know God and unless you are going to follow the Messiah, he said, you are not the children of Abraham, not really. And Jesus clarified that as well in John chapter 8, when this same group of people were plotting his death. And they said, our father is Abraham. And then Jesus in John 8, verse 44, he really spoke directly. He said, your father is the devil. And you are doing his works, and he was a murderer, and that's what you're trying to do, is to murder me. And so, you know, Jesus really drew the line, that just like Paul did in the book of Romans and Galatians, and John the Baptist did, Jesus did the same thing, that those who are truly his followers are really God's children. And ultimately, Tom, and, you know, when you really look at the big picture, I know we look at Israel and we see the different groups, Hamas and the Palestinians and the Israelis and Hezbollah and all these conflicting groups over there. But from the biblical perspective, at the end of the day, there's really only two groups of people in this world. There are those that are on the side of God and Jesus, and who have the Holy Spirit and who are following the word of God. And then there are those that are on the side of Satan, and who are reflecting his character, and who are proud and unwilling to give their lives to the one who loves them and made them and gave his son to die on the cross for them. So there's two groups, really. There's those that are following God and those who are following the devil at the end of the day. And I'm going to prove before this whole interview is over that the book of Revelation's focus is not the state of Israel. It's not a physical Israel over in the Middle East. It's who are the followers of God versus who are the followers of the devil, and who are heading toward the New Jerusalem or who are heading toward the lake of fire. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And ultimately, it's who is willing to respond to the cross, to Jesus' death for all of us, for Jews, Gentiles, Hamas, Palestinians, Russians, Wiccans, Democrats, Republicans, whoever we are, Jesus Christ loves us all, and he paid the price on the cross for every single human being on planet Earth. He died for all of our sins. And at the end of the day, what we do with him is what determines our destiny.
In the Old Testament, it was very clear that the Israelite nation was God's chosen people. What happened for them to lose that favored status?
Well, yeah, even in the Old Testament, there were those that were Israel of the flesh and the Israel of God. You had, like the ones that came out of Israel, came out of Egypt. You have one group built the golden calf, and you had the other group that maintained their loyalty. And if you look at all throughout biblical history in the Old Testament, you've got those Jews that are following God and those who are apostatizing and bowing down to idols and going along with the world. And it's the same today. And as far as Israel itself, like I mentioned, when Jesus appeared, there was one group of Jewish people that accepted him and one group that didn't. And when you go all the way to the cross and you really look at those scenes, it's very sad, but the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin, they were the ones that rejected the Messiah, that pressured Pontius Pilate to put Jesus to death. And Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. He said, I find no fault in this man. I'm washing my hands of this. And then he said, what should we do with him? And then they cried out, crucify him. And then they said, his blood be upon us and on our children. That was a horrible thing for them to say, but that's what they said. And Jesus, in his parables, described what they were going to do. And then he told them in the parable in Matthew 21, Jesus said to them, he said, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, and it will be given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And that's what happened. The kingdom of God was taken away from fleshy Israel that pressured Pilate to kill Jesus. And the kingdom of God was transferred to the Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. That's what happened. And you saw the result of what happened at the cross in 70 AD when the Roman armies came and burned the temple down to the ground, slaughtered a million Jews, and it was just a horrible thing that happened. It was much worse than what happened with Hamas when the Romans came against Israel in 70 AD and burned Jerusalem, burned the temple down, and killed all these Jews. It was a nightmare, but no Christian suffered in that slaughter, because Jesus had given them a sign when to leave Jerusalem prior to the destruction. And so all the Jewish believers in Jesus, they all got out. So the one group of the flesh, they went down in 70 AD, and the Jewish believers in Jesus, they escaped to a little city called Pila, and no Christian Jew suffered in the slaughter of Jerusalem. And so, you know, we're dealing with bloody issues, but that's what happened. And my contention is that God has been with his people down throughout history. And when we come back, we'll deal with Armageddon. You know, who are really the contestants at the final battle? Is it the Russians against the Jews, or is it something else? We'll find out what the Bible really says.
Well, listeners, stay tuned. We'll be taking a short break, but Pastor Steve Wolberg of White Horse Media, he's the speaker director, and I'm your host, Tom Majeur, for a Strong Tower Radio special edition. We'll be back soon.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Pastor Steve Wolberg. He's the speaker director of White Horse Media. He's a frequent speaker on prophecy. We're talking about Hamas, Israel, and Armageddon. As we left the last segment, we were talking about that there are two Israelites. Those are in the flesh, and those who are spiritually following God. You can't throw them all in the same package. They are distinctly different, and when you start interpreting prophecy in the wrong way, that leads you to wrong conclusions. Talk to us. 1948 seems to have been a flashpoint in modern history when the Jewish nation was formed. Was that a United Nations or League of Nations action?
Well, the United Nations definitely favored the reestablishment of the State of Israel. And the context of that date, May 14, 1948, and the reestablishment of the State of Israel, the context was the Holocaust. It was World War II and the Nazis who, you know, butchered somewhere around 6 million Jews. And that whole nightmare created a sympathy for the Jewish people and a context for the Jewish migration over from Germany over into the land of Israel, the land of Palestine at that time, and for the ultimately reestablishment of the State of Israel, which was spearheaded by the what's called the Zionist movement, which was a group of Jewish leaders that were dedicated to reestablishing their nation. Now, there's what's happening, what has been happening ever since then, is that prophecy-minded Christians who study the Bible, they've concluded that this is the fulfillment of prophecy, that God has regathered Israel and brought them back to the land, and that now we are setting up for the final events before the return of Jesus. That's their view. But there's, you know, if you, as they say, the devil's in the detail and the details, and there's two sides to every coin. There's another side to this. And first of all, I just think from just a human perspective, it doesn't make sense that God was with the Jews and allowed them to go through the nightmare of 6 million of them being sent to the concentration camps and to all these things. And then all of a sudden he shifted gears and he was with them when they were established in 1948. I mean, where the Jewish people are thinking, where was God during the Holocaust? And there's a whole lot of Jewish people today that are atheists, that don't want anything to do with God because of the Holocaust. They think, how could God, if we're the chosen people, how could he have allowed us to go through this suffering? Now, then the other issue is the biblical issue. And this is really centered in what's called the gathering prophecies. In Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, 39, and then there's other gathering prophecies in the Old Testament that predicted that God would bring his people back to the land. But if you look carefully at those prophecies, they are all, and I want to underscore this, they're conditional upon Israel responding to God. And that's what happened when Israel was in Babylon. They were in Babylon because of the Babylonian armies that destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem right around 600 or 586 BC. And what happened was when the whole group of Jews were taken captive and went into Babylon for 70 years, they did return to the Lord. And people like Ezra and Nehemiah and Joshua, they came back to the land and they rebuilt their city. They rebuilt their temple, which eventually led the way for the Messiah when Jesus came. And let me read one of those prophecies. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, "It shall come to pass that when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse." And what happened in Deuteronomy 28, God listed, if you follow me, all these blessings will come upon you. If you don't follow me, all these curses are going to come upon you. And one of those curses was you'll be scattered among the nations. And in chapter 30, Moses says, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the cursed, and then it says, you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. And verse 2 says, and you return to the Lord your God, and you obey his voice. Then verse 3 says, then the Lord your God will turn your captivity, have compassion on you, and gather you from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So this is a perfect example of an Old Testament scattering, gathering prophecy. And the prophecy says that if you're scattered because you're disobedient, and then among the nations you repent and you return to God, return to obey his voice, then I will gather you. And Tom, it's a fact of history that is not what happened in 1948. There was no large-scale repentance of the Jewish nation, of the Zionists. And the biggest repentance that needs to happen is for the crucifixion. God sent his own son, and you have the Sanhedrin, you have Annas, Caiaphas, the Jewish leaders who said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And they committed a horrible national sin by crucifying the Son of God. And that sin needs to be repented of. It needs to be, recognized and forsaken. And people need to return to the Lord and to his Son, his Messiah, who fulfilled prophecy and who God sent into the world as the Savior. And if that doesn't happen, then you can't have a biblical regathering where people have now come back to God, they've repented, they're obeying his voice, and then he would regather them. Now, obviously, they did come back in 1948, but my contention is that it was not a spiritual revival that meets the biblical criteria of repentance and returning, which would include returning to Jesus Christ. It's just not there. And so, you know, people say, yes, God was there. He did it in 1948. But show me the verses. I was listening recently to a podcast where a prophecy expert was being interviewed, and he was quoting the prophecies in Ezekiel 36 and 37 and 38, where God says he would gather Israel. And then this man said, there's only one fulfillment of this in history. There's no other fulfillment that's even possible, and that was in 1948. And when I heard that podcast, I thought to myself, and I actually spoke to myself out loud, I said, no, that's not true. And the reason is because when you look at Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38, Israel at that time was in Babylon. Ezekiel was he was a captive in Babylon. And when he was predicting that God was going to do a work and the people were going to repent, he said, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. I'm going to regather you. I'm going to bring back the dry bones and bring them back. The context of there is Israel in Babylon, which they did come out of Babylon, many of them. They did rebuild their temple. They did rebuild Jerusalem. This was spearheaded by Ezra and Nehemiah and Joshua. And fulfillment that doesn't apply to the end times. And yet this man said, there's no other fulfillment that's even possible except for what happened in 1948. And that's just not true.
So there's no repentance. What about Armageddon? And as we wind up this show, there is so much interest in Armageddon. If Armageddon seems to both out of fear, probably mostly out of fear, motivate a whole lot of people. You don't have to be very religious for Armageddon to get your attention. How does Armageddon fit into the Middle East?
Yeah, great question. The word Armageddon is a well-known word. People are making movies out of this, Hollywood movies. The word itself is only used one time in the Bible, which is in Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. Which says he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And what's happening today is that prophecy-minded Christians are interpreting this word and this battle to mean that this is where there's a final Middle East bloody battle against the Jews. And, you know, Iran, Russia, China, etc., all the nations are going to be gathering together against the Jews. That's the way they interpret this. But the fact is that the context of the only time that the word Armageddon is used in the Bible says nothing about the Jews, not one word. And when you look at the context, let me read it to you quickly. In verse 14, it talks about the spirits of devils working miracles which go to the kings of the earth and the whole world, so this is global, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And then verse 16 says he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So the gathering is not a gathering of different nations against the Jews. It's the gathering of the spirits of devils going out with their deceptive doctrines and influence to the kings of the earth and the whole world to be gathered together ultimately on the side of Satan and Babylon, which is forces of spiritual deception against God. And right after Armageddon hits, verse 17 says, the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices, thunders, lightnings. There was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This is a global earthquake. And then it says the cities of the nations fell. So these are cities all around the world. And it says great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away and the mountains were not found. So you've got a global gathering led by the devil with the kings of the earth around the world gathered together against God and ultimately against Jesus and against his people. And then God's voice thunders from the temple in heaven. not on earth. And the temple in heaven is where Jesus is our great high priest up in heaven, who's our Savior, who's mediating for humanity and for those who choose to give their lives to him. And so that's the context. And in Revelation chapter 19, it talks about the beast and the false prophet and the kings of the earth, how they're all gathered together against Jesus when he's coming down in the clouds. And then it says that Jesus wins the battle and they are destroyed. Satan and his worldwide forces go down at Armageddon. So I have a whole chapter in my book about this that goes into details, many other scriptures, which explains that Armageddon biblically, just like there's two Israels, not one, in the book of Revelation, it's God versus the devil and Babylon, which is a mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, describing false doctrines, false teachings that encircle the world, and it's the final battle between God and the forces of evil, and Jesus wins, the devil loses, and those who are ready for Armageddon are his people. In Revelation 16, verse 15, right before Armageddon, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And Jesus is appealing to his people to watch out for the devil, be ready for his coming, keep on the robe of his righteousness, and be ready for the final battle. So the focus is not the Middle East. The focus is all around the world and being on Jesus' side, not on the side of the devil. And ultimately being centered in the cross of what he did for us when he paid the price for our sins.
Amen. You know, what I see here is 1948, there was no repentance, and so this couldn't be the right gathering. It also is, what I heard you say is it's the wrong characters. I was going to say people, but you said beasts and devils, and it's the wrong geography. It's not Israel. It's a worldwide prophecy application. It's just kind of like wrong, wrong, wrong.
That's right, Tom. And let me just say, well, let me just make one more quick comment here. If you go back to the time of Jesus, what was the big error of the Jewish leaders? The error was that the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to conquer the Romans and exalt them and exalt Israel. And Jesus didn't come to do that. Instead of Israel of the flesh being the center, Jesus said, "The center is me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me and I will give you rest. Search the scriptures and I will give you eternal life." But the Pharisees thought that the center was them, Israel. But really, the center is Jesus. And it's the same thing happening today. The evangelicals and those who study prophecy are making Israel the center of the end, and they're doing the same thing that the Jewish people did, and they're not seeing that the real center of prophecy is Jesus and those who are following him.
Pastor Steve, I'm sure that our listeners, some of what you've shared to me is so diametrically different than what they've been told. It takes a while to assimilate that, and they will need to have these texts, and they'll need to have this explained to them two or three times until they study that out for themselves and make their own conclusion, not based on previous teachings, but out of scriptural base. How can you help them?
Yeah, well, I've written a book on this called False Prophecies About Israel, Babylon, and Armageddon. This book is available from Whitehorse Media. It's a book that goes into all these issues. And Tom, you mentioned, you know, people struggling with what they're being taught as compared to what the Bible actually says. The disciples went through the same thing. They were thinking, well, Jesus is telling us things that are different from what the rabbis are telling us. And they struggled with that themselves. They were so mixed up that they thought that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, he was going to sit on the throne and Israel was going to become the prince of all the nations. And they were wrong because they had been misled by the rabbis. And it's the same today. So my book, False Prophecies About Israel, Babylon, and Armageddon, really goes into these details and explains what the Bible says and what Jesus taught and what the book of Revelation actually says to try to help people to learn the truth and to be grounded in Scripture and to be ready for Jesus' return.
Pastor Steve, what is the easiest way when we're driving in a vehicle, maybe working, how can people remember how to get this book? What is the easiest way to fix that in their memory?
Well, if they're driving, hopefully they have a good memory. If they remember whitehorsemedia.com, whitehorsemedia.com is our website. They can go into the store and they can type in Israel, false prophecies about Israel, Babylon, and Armageddon. We also have a toll-free number, 800-78-BIBLE. Maybe that's easiest to remember, 800-78-BIBLE. And then they can call our office and they can order that book if they would like. It's loaded with information. It's been around for 20 years or more. It's been printed so many times, and the book is just really, really valuable, centered in Jesus, and it'll help people to understand the truth.
It'll probably be something that once a person understands or sees the biblical truth here, they'll probably want to share that with other people.
I think so. And Tom, we've actually, and I've mentioned this to you, that there's a whole group of us right now that are working on a brand new project. And the project is to print 1 million copies of this book and distribute it throughout the United States through Facebook advertising to encourage people to click and order the book. And people are going to be able to get the book for free if we can get the support to print 1 million copies of this. And we have a brand new website about this, which is called IsraelTruthProject.com, IsraelTruthProject.com. And if people want to be involved in this and help support this, it's growing. The momentum is growing. And we really want to get Bible truth into the hands of people in these challenging, difficult days that we're all facing every day.
And finally, Pastor Steve, you put out a 67-minute video that talked about, it was named Hamas, Israel, and Armageddon. How might they find that online?
Yeah, they can go onto our YouTube channel. If they just go to YouTube and type in White Horse Media, they'll find our YouTube channel, and the top video right there right now is Hamas, Israel, and Armageddon. It's just a 7-minute short video that summarizes a lot of these issues and then encourages people to get the book so they can get more information and get grounded in Jesus and in Bible truth.
Well, Pastor Steve, I want to thank you for producing this short video and writing that book 20 years ago. Again, that you can call 800-78-BIBLE or IsraelTruthProject.com. And until next time, listeners, I'm your host, Tom Azure, for Pastor Steve Wolberg of White Horse Media. Bye now.